Father, we just thank you so much for loving us. I just pray now that you continue to guide and direct the rest of the night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I got halfway. Yes, sir. Danny? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Amen. When is what? First, we just had it last week. Where were you? Oh, that's right. You weren't here. No, it's not till the first of January. 1st of December. Oh yeah, it's next week. Hey, all I know is it's Wednesday night tonight, okay? I've had a hard week, so just don't bug me. Brother Echo, you never had weeks like that, did you? Huh? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 9. We're going to try to get through 9 and 10 tonight. I was going to get through them last week, and we started, and we didn't get through half of what I wanted to. But we're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10 tonight. Starting in verse number 9, it says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinner, for unholy, and profane, for murderers, for fathers of fathers, and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for man stealers, for liars, for prejurders, persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." Now, we started going through some of this a little bit last night, but if you take a look at that, Paul starts out to Timothy. He says, knowing that the law is not made for a righteous man. Now, what was the law? Okay, it was what God gave to Moses, wasn't it? That's what the law was. Now, what we need to understand is this. There was two laws, wasn't there? There was a moral law at that time, and then there was the written law that God gave to Moses. Now, if anyone, it was not given, a person who does everything right, do they need a law? Huh? A person who does everything right, do they need a law? No, they don't. They don't need a law. If you do everything right, and if there was a person upon the earth that could do everything right, you wouldn't need a law. You know, if everyone drove between here and Coolidge 55 miles an hour, would there have to be a sign up there that says speed limit 55 miles an hour? No, there wouldn't. You know, if everybody did everything right all the time, we wouldn't need a law, would we? We wouldn't need a law of the state. However, because not everyone is righteous, and there are some of us who like to do 60 instead of 55, well, actually, I only drive 56, but that's in town, by the way. But anyway, but what we need to realize is this, is that if everybody was righteous, then we wouldn't need a law. But we aren't righteous, so there had to be a law. And what Paul is saying to Timothy here, he's saying, now listen, if everybody was righteous, there wouldn't have been a need for the law, but the law was for the unrighteous. Now, here we see that If we do all things correctly, we don't need to worry about the law and doing things right because we would just do them. Now, Paul used a list of those who the law is meant for. And if you're in this list, don't say amen. Just, you know, you can just sit there and be quiet. But if you are, you need to get to this altar tonight. No, I'm just kidding. And get it straightened out. Anyway, but he says the lawless. You know, these are those who have heard the gospel message, and they need to have a law to guide them. In Mark chapter 15, verse 28, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors." In Acts 2:23, it says, "Him being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Here we see that there are those in the world who do not abide by any law. They take things into their own hands. And that's what they're talking about. Then he goes on to say the disobedient. These are those who feel that there is no authority over them and they can do whatever they want. They do not feel there's any consequences for their actions. Now, I don't know if any of you know of anybody like that, but I do. Right, Jacob? What we need to realize, the disobedient are getting more and more all the time, aren't they? You know, if you take and you look at our society the way it is today, and you look at our teenagers, and you look at how many of them are disobedient to their parents, they don't listen to their parent anymore. They won't listen to authority anymore. They don't look at police officers and everybody else as authority figures over them. And it's wrong. Titus 1:10 says this, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Now, what we need to realize is this, is that there are consequences to our actions. Amen? You know, there's an awful lot of people today that don't feel there are any consequences to their actions. You know, if you take and you look at the millennials, most of them don't feel that there's any consequences to what they're going to do. Some of the crazy things people are doing is unbelievable. You know, I mean, you know, they don't feel they're going to get hurt by what they're doing. But then all of a sudden, they find out they can be maimed. They can be, you know, whatever. And then they go, "Well, that was sure dumb." You know, jump off the Empire State Building thinking they can take and fly, you know. And then, you know, they do real good the first 400 floors. But, you know, it's usually the last 10 floors that kind of scare them, you know. And then it's between floor one and the ground that really scares them. But what we need to realize is this, there's an awful lot of people in our society today that don't feel that their consequences have any, or their actions have any consequences. But then there's also the ungodly, those who feel there is no God. What does the Bible call those who feel they do there is no God? Or no Christ? What does the Bible call them? Antichrist. Antichrist. They're called Antichrist. And even Paul said, hey, there's many Antichrists in the world right now. We've got more Antichrists right now than what they had in the days of Paul. We got a lot more people in the world today that don't believe that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, rose again the third day according to the Scripture. They don't even believe the Scripture. They don't believe the Bible. They think, oh, it's just a good book. You know, Madeline Mary O'Hare was one that felt there was no God until 1 week before she died. 1 week, and I read her biography, and 1 week before she died, she came to the realization that there was a God. And she turned and got saved. 1 week. And this was the last one of the last statements she made. She says, if God would give me enough time, maybe I could undo what I did. Wow. It was too late. It was too late. Roe versus Wade. Wade of the Roe versus Wade. She got saved. And she wanted so bad to take in reverse or have it reversed. And there was nothing that they could do about it with abortion. What's that? Yeah. So here we see then that in Psalms 14:1 it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. All those who feel that they can do all things without God are wrong. Guarantee it. They're wrong. You know, I have never seen an atheist yet in an emergency room. I was a paramedic for 15 years, about 15, almost 20 years. And I can remember a man that one of the people that was in the ambulance with me, we went to his house one day, door knocking on a Saturday. He met us at the door. And he looked right at me and he says, there is no God. And don't you ever come back here and try to tell me there is. I'll never forget it. I said, okay. I said, that's fine. That's your belief. We left. About 6 months later, there was a car accident. Bad car accident. Guess who was in the car accident? This guy. I just happened to be on the run that night. We got there. We loaded him up in the ambulance. We took off. And, oh, he was bleeding and stuff. We had that all. But he didn't have life-threatening injuries. And we're good there in the ambulance. We're going, and they're going, you know, code 3 all the way in, lights and sirens. Am I going to die? I said, I'm not a doctor. I have no idea. I said, you know, it doesn't look real good. I said, you're bleeding. I said, this does not look good at all. It doesn't. It doesn't look good at all. And he goes, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I said, can I ask you a question? What? I said, if you were to die, I said, where would you go? I know, I'd go straight to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I said, well, let me tell you how you can go to heaven. So I led him through the plan of salvation. He got saved. And we get to the hospital and we haul him in. And the nurse and the doctor are looking at him and goes, man, he says, we'll just stitch him up a little bit and he can go home. He goes, I'm not going to die. I said, you know why? I said, it's amazing what God can do, isn't it? It's amazing. You talk about a miracle. I said, I've never seen a miracle like this ever happen in my entire life. You know what? He became one of the best church goers there was. I mean, he started coming to our church. And I never ever told him, though, that, but, you know, people think that they don't want to know God, but when the chips get down and it's time to meet the Maker, they do. You know, this is why the law was given, to be able to judge those who do not believe that there's a God. In 1 Peter 4:18 it says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Revelation 20:15 says, for whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, here we see the ungodly where they're going to end up. Then there's the unholy, totally polluted, and that's not drunk, by the way. They are unclean both inside and out. Luke chapter 8, verse 27, it says, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time. and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Listen, what we need to realize is the law was also given to those who were out of their mind. The law was also given to those who are out of their mind. You know, this guy that we just read about, he was full of devils. He was full of demons. And what we need to realize, believe it or not, is across over here, not too awful far from us, there's a place with a big fence around it and has razor wire around the whole thing. Do you know that there's an awful lot of people in there with demons in it? Do you know there's an awful lot of people in prison that have demons? Listen, the law was made for them. Not only that, but also the profane. These are those. These are the ones who could not enter the temple because of the lifestyle that they lived and how that they cared for their lives. The word profane comes from the Greek word, which means far from the temple. In Hebrews 12:16, it says, lest there be any fornicators or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Then you've got the murderers of fathers and mothers. You know, we think that this could not happen, but look at our society today. What was it? How old was that boy that killed his mom and dad and his sister, I think 14 years old, something like that? Yeah, just turned 14 years old. And we say, oh, it can't happen in our society. Oh, yes, it does. You know, only allowing... let's take a look at this. One other thing is here. Euthanasia or whatever it is. Only the fittest should live. The old and feeble should be done away with. And believe it or not, in the world today, there's a huge push on that. Of anyone over the age of 65 who is physically or mentally incapable of caring for themselves needs to be done away with. And what we need to realize is that the law was made for people like that. The law was made for the people who are thinking along those lines. Romans 13:9 says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then there's the manslayer, common killers, ones who have no regard for life itself. They feel that life is just a temporal thing, here today, gone tomorrow, not giving any thought for eternity. Matthew 5:21 says, ye have heard that it is said by them of old, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. I was just reading an article before church tonight, and what they found, this is an FBI report now that was just published, in the years of 2014 to 2016, there was 273 was considered shootings. Okay, now there was that many shootings. Of that, 40% of them, 40% of the 273, there were armed people in that area or in the thing there. Of the ones of the 40% of the 273 that had armed people there, there were no casualties. They took the shooter out before he could do any harm. What their conclusion is this: if we can get people armed into places, you know, and have people armed in places of you know, things like that, and not have these gun-free zones, so to speak, because that's where they're attacking, is the gun-free zones. Churches was one of them that they were attacking. And trying to think. Phoenix, up in Phoenix, let's see. It wasn't Calvary Chapel. It was, anyway, they went and about 2 years ago, the ex-police chief for Phoenix was a member of the church. He went to the pastor. He says, we need to get an armed security force here. He says, we have 3,000 people every Sunday morning. And he says, it is an easy target. It's a soft target because people aren't armed. And so the pastor, he says, you write up the policy and this here. Let me look at it, and we'll see what we'll do. So they did, and they went and they took the people that he wanted. They trained them. They showed them where everybody needed to be stationed during the services and everything like that. He set up everything. 2 weeks after they put this in, one of the security heard a shot from the parking lot, headed for the parking lot, and there was another one coming the other way towards the parking lot, and they met a guy coming out of the parking lot who had just shot someone in the parking lot. He had two AR-15s on him. He had three 45 semi-automatics. He had almost 800 rounds of ammunition on him. And they took him out before he could get to the church. Now, you take and you think about that, you think, wow, why would someone want to do that? Because they're a murderer. They're a murderer. What we need to realize is that we need to be vigilant about what we do. We need to be so careful about what we do and how we do it. Then it goes on to say whoremongers. These are prostitutes, people who sell themselves, fornicators, who homosexuals, those who have relationships with the same sex, sodomites, those who are have an intimate relationship with animals. And you know what? You just say, relationship with animals? Let me tell you what. That's more and more and more prevalent all the time. You have no idea. When I was in law enforcement, I know on a yearly basis, we would arrest at least a minimum of 15 to 20 sodomites who were, and I mean, it was just unbelievable. That was 20 years ago. Just think what it is today. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this: What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? We need to realize that this body isn't ours, it's the Holy Spirit. Then you've got man stealers, pimps who sell others for profit and gain, internet porn site makers, slave traffickers. That's what manslayers are. Then you've got your prejured people. This is a person who makes an oath and does not keep it. this is a person who makes a vow to God and does not keep that vow. Prejured is where the word prejured comes from, is a jury, not telling the truth under oath. In Leviticus 27:2, it says, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the person shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. There are far too many who will take and make a vow to God and will not keep it. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they made a vow to God and didn't keep it? Huh? Yeah, they didn't last very long, did they? They kept part of it, walked into Peter. Peter says, How come you kept some of the money? How did he know how much they made on it? But the Holy Spirit told him. And boom, just like that, Ananias died, and then boom, Sapphira died. Man. And then those without sound doctrine. Doctrine of the gospel, doctrine which is according to godliness. 1 Timothy 6, 3 says, If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the true, or to the doctrine which is according to godliness. You know, it's having a scope of true godliness, but not preaching it. You know, these are those who are preaching sound doctrine under the judgment of the law. You know, all 416 laws which the Israelites were given, they were to keep each of them until when? Christ died on the cross. They had to keep all 416 of them until Christ died on the cross. And if they didn't, if they were only guilty of one of them, they were what? Guilty of all. We need to realize that even though we're not under the law, we need to take and use the law as a schoolmaster. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your love. I just thank you so much for loving us so much. I just pray now that you guide and direct us in our various ways. Bring us back safely again on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.